You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Soundwave number 58. Wow, 58 already. It'll be 60 before you know it in like 2 weeks approximately. Wow. I can't believe it.
Before you know it, it'll be eligible for her, Social Security.
Yeah. I know. We'll be pulling down a check from the government.
Finally.
I know. Yeah. We'll pass it on to the viewer. We'll split it up, like, yeah. You know, a couple hundred ways.
Or you so. Guys will get, like, 2 cents.
At least a few hundred ways.
We can only give you underwear for Christmas. We only get so much a month, guys.
Yeah.
You get one sock, left or right, if you like. Let's see.
May or may not be.
So this week, let's see, who's on the show? You know, next year. There's always next year for whatever one you didn't get. So on this week's show, we've got JD, we've got Brian, we've got Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum, and Rob. Yes, featuring Rob Springer. Right. How's everybody doing, guys?
What up?
Yes. Yes. So this is a good show this week. We've got a little bit of World of Warcraft news. We've got a good story on Kinect, a couple good stories on Kinect. Mortal Kombat, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 leaks, yet another roster leak. Maybe this one is accurate. It's pretty close.
And JD's going to leak his NDA on DC Universe Online.
Not so much.
He's going to leak all over.
I would like to do beta for other games, maybe.
That would be pretty awesome.
And you will, sir, if we have anything to do with it. And then we're going to talk about Batman Arkham City a little bit. And then topic of the week ties in with a pretty awesome release for Xbox Live and the PS Network. The classic Konami beat 'em up X-Men is out now. You can download it for $10-ish. And so we're going to talk about beat 'em ups and what happened to beat 'em ups. So anyway, on with the news. We'll start off the show with World of Warcraft and Cataclysm. If you've been living under a rock, Cataclysm is the next big thing in World of Warcraft. And the commercials are awesome and they're everywhere. So you probably are well aware of this game. What you may not have known is in one day, they had 3.3 million in sales. How about that? Wow. So, mucho popular, and our friend JD,
hi,
is quite the connoisseur of such games. So, JD, what do you think so far of Cataclysm?
Pretty good. I mean, I have only got to barely scratch the surface because, as we say, I'm also in the beta for DC Universe Online. So I've had to kind of split time between the two. But so far it's really interesting. There's a start area now for, of course, one of the things that they did was raise the level cap. Previously it was 80. Now it's 85.
Oh, wow.
The thing is,
they do that with every expansion.
They've increased the level cap with every expansion. Originally it was 60. Then it went from 60 to 70. Then 70 to 80. Now 80 to 85. So at least it's a little bit of a shorter level cap than previous, so it's not the grueling, oh my god, I have to level through 10 levels before I get to the cap. And so far, I haven't quite gone from 80 to 81, but it is moving fairly quickly when I've had time to actually try to level. There's a whole new area. One of the new things is there's now underwater areas. So previously, you could go underwater, but there weren't really like underwater zones, and this is an entire underwater zone. You get an underwater mount. There's all kinds of quests and things there. So it's kind of, you get like, you have to do this whole thing where you get like water breathing for that area so that you don't drown and you don't have to pay for it. Like with potions or something, which is what you have to typically. What else? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, like, you know, I mean, this is an expansion pack, but does it feel already like kind of like more than just another expansion pack? I mean, does it really feel like something different?
No, this is really, and you talk about things that are game changers, and this literally has changed the game. The Cataclysm is a literal event in the World of Warcraft. So Deathwing, who's this sort of big fiery demonic dragon that's possessed by like the old gods or corrupted by them anyway. There's a lot of lore. I won't get into it. Anyway, he's like underground and like bursts through the ground and runs amok. And essentially, large portions of the geography of the world are changed. So whether or not you actually buy the expansion, large portions of the physical world have changed. Orgrimmar, which is like the major city for the Horde, is now completely different. They basically scrapped the whole city, sort of kept the layout, but changed all the building models, changed everything about the city. I think they've done similar things maybe to Stormwind, but I haven't been there yet.
And does this happen if you don't get the expansion?
Yes. Even if you didn't get the expansion, they still have changed large parts of the world the way the... They've done a couple of things, I think, to try to help the game as far as your leveling progression goes. It's a little bit more... there were some areas where when you would jump from, say, one... You know, each zone is for a certain set of levels. And sometimes when you would go from one set of levels to the next, you kind of had to go through some more difficult areas to get there. And I think they've tried to even that out a bit so it's not so difficult to get around. One big thing that they've done is they've added flying mounts to the old world. So the first expansion that they released was Burning Crusade, and the big thing there was that you could fly in that part of the world. The next expansion was in the old world, but it was in a different continent, and you could fly there, but you still couldn't fly in the original world. Now, anywhere you can fly. So you can use your flying mount and free fly wherever you want, which is kind of weird. It was sort of weird. I went and bought the flying, and you know, now I'm like flying over the start zones and things, which is very odd, but kind of cool too.
Interesting. So is it definitely, I guess, would you thumbs up, thumbs down so far?
I think with initial play, I mean, I don't know that it's, in terms of just an expansion, I don't know that it's going to be drastically different. They added two new races, one for each group. They rearranged some of the classes as far as what races can play what classes. So there's some, I mean, there's
is
a
there
lot
segregation of, involved in this game?
Sounds like
You know, honestly, well, I mean, from a lore standpoint, there is, but I mean, typically that doesn't happen in game, but you know,
in our
yeah,
lore, there is, yeah,
in the lore of the game, sure, there's actually a lot of racism and things that goes on, but
wow. So there's a lot of cool kids not wanting the lame kids to play with them.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have like
the dragon's got a white hood on it.
You know,
I see that.
Yes,
I see that. Okay, well, nice, JD. JD, any final points before?
No. I mean, like I said, I think I'll play it a little bit more. Maybe once hit 85, okay. Come back and I can tell. I can tell.
Sweet.
You
so, in DC Universe Online, are you a Green Lantern or something?
I can't tell you.
The lawyers say no comment. That's what they say.
Neither confirm nor deny anything.
so when you're telling me you were actually playing as Batman and Superman at the same time, so you can't tell people that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Superman can't, with the cape and cowl.
Can you at least tell us if you use buttons?
I can't confirm or deny.
Awesome.
Sort of,
is it motion controlled?
I can't.
Is it a video game? Or are you LARPing?
He's LARPing. He just doesn't want to admit it.
Is it Beta or VHS?
I am unable to give any details related to...
Oh, Rob, some of our viewers, some of our listeners have no idea what you're talking about.
Is it live or is it MemberX?
And almost all of them don't get that. We is old. Hey, to wrap up World of Warcraft stuff, just so you know, when I said 3.3 million, I meant 3.3 million copies in the first 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, of course not. $3.3 million. I mean, that's nothing.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
That is insane.
And, hey, a couple quick notes, too, and then we'll move off it. So according to Blizzard, the number of subscribers to World of Warcraft, and this is before the expansion launch, had grown to 12 million players. So, you know, it's even bigger now. And, hey, we know it's a tough economy. Look at New Soundwave. We're looking out for you. Blizzard is hiring several positions. So go to blizzard.com/jobs.
A friend of mine was looking at a position there, but he'd have to move to California. It was like the perfect job for him, too.
Oh, really? But he wouldn't move to California?
No, he's got roots here.
Hell yeah.
John, yeah. Maybe you answer something. I'm sorry, JD.
Mm.
Maybe you could answer something for me.
Sure.
The Cataclysm. Did you have to buy it, or could you, like, say, I don't know, pay a little more and download it? Or when do you stop paying for this game?
Well, depends on me. It depends on what you mean by pay for the game. I mean, obviously, you have to pay monthly for it.
Right.
But, I mean, as far as the expansion, there's not, like, a pay-as-you-go option, if that's what you mean, like, pay $5 extra a month.
Could you just download it?
Yeah, actually, well, I mean, they did a deal where if you didn't want to go to the store to get the box copy, they actually had a deal where you could buy it from the Blizzard online store and actually download the game and have it ready to go. So as soon as, like, midnight hit, you could activate your game code and then be into the game.
You know,
in fact, I think I read a story. I didn't get to fully, you know, look at it, but I think someone was already 85, like, before launch.
Wow. Stop paying for this game, though?
Well, yeah, I mean, you always have to pay. Yeah, I mean, that's the deal with any of these MMOs is that you pay monthly for them. Now,
I figured they'd throw you a bone every once in a while, like, okay, here's the expansion, shoot.
Imagine how much money they could make if they gave it away.
If you go into the Blizzard store as well, you can actually use real world money to buy pets and mounts.
Wow.
Wow.
So you can
sign me up, brother.
A pet, just a little thing that follows you around, you could actually pay 10 real-world dollars to buy one of those.
Hmm. So basically there's some really, like, fat guy just smoking a cigar in a suit going, hey, I got a new squirrel for you, dumbasses.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That could have been you, Rob.
Yes. Yeah, it could have been you, Rob.
It should have been me.
Man. It should have been all of us. Hey, Peter, do you have a question before we move on?
No.
I had a question, but I forgot it.
All right. Well, thank you, JD. Very nice. Very nice. And we'll look forward to a follow-up review when you've kind of kicked the tires on more of the game.
And tell me if you figured out how to do that thing you were telling me about with Batman.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
You know, that thing he does. Hey, you know what?
Ocean.
Staying on the review note, I've got Donkey Kong Country Returns. I played it a little bit, all I can say, my short, like, 10-second review, awesome, nostalgia-rific. It's like playing the old one.
So it sucks.
And I like it. It is mad, it is insanely hard in some areas. Like, you'll
That's
be exasperated. You'll be exasperated in some areas, but overall, when I put down the controller, I'm in a fairly positive mood, so I would actually, if you liked Donkey Kong Country, you should get the game. It's good. Like I said, it's a nostalgia fest, and along with that, it's a hard game, I think. So there's more nostalgia for you. Back when games were hard, this is going back to those days. Couple things on Kinect. First of all, I'm going to post shortly, probably before the show's over, I'm going to tweet this, a really cool video from YouTube where the MIT Brain Labs have taken the Kinect, some software, and basically done the Minority Report. If you haven't seen the Minority Report, basically interfacing with a screen with just your hands, just moving around icons and stuff with your hands using the Kinect. It's really cool. You'll see people, like, basically clicking and dragging and scaling stuff without touching a screen, just kind of motioning in front of the screen.
Man.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah, it really says something for the society when it's like, okay, here's this technology we could have already used, but we'll wait until they come up with a new way to play Halo.
Yes.
I want to play Halo like that.
Well, I think the difference is that previously it was that it only sensed either a hand or no hand. This recent MIT one, it senses all five fingers, all five digits, and your palm.
But these MIT geniuses had to hack a toy.
You can think.
I would think they
think
were like,
you know,
look at
the
camera.
Well, I mean, it's a piece of hardware. It's just like anything. And
yeah, but you get my point. I figured MIT guys would be like, oh man, we already got this. You just breathe, man. Oh man.
Well,
they take a break from Street Fighter and Halo.
We could use this.
Well, they very well could have just been, you know, MIT software, you know, students and not people who actually built hardware.
And that's the thing. I mean, and that's a very good point. I mean, software people are different typically than hardware people. And, you know, there isn't really necessarily a marketplace demand to create this kind of hardware other than in a video game setting. And now that we have it, though, I mean, I saw a video the other day where they were using it as eyes for a small robot helicopter, and they were used it to like pilot a room, like set it with a preset, like if you know take this path, and then if something gets in your way, stop or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, now that we have the hardware, there's a lot more that we can do with it. But you know, who cares where it came from?
I just hey MIT hardware, what you guys doing? Well, you made a USB hot plate. Hey, MIT software, what you guys do? We nice. Took a DS and an Xbox, and we came up with a flying car.
And I it's guess it's happen. Like another Kinect hack. They using the Kinect camera receptors. They actually built a program around it to as an autonomous car.
Wow!
It was like a little car. Wow. It was like an RC car that just drove around, kind of like the DARPA X Prize that they had several years back, where you could drive a car, a real car, through a desert and go through a whole bunch of things. They did that with the Kinect.
They can do all this stuff with Kinect. Do you think they'd come out with some more games any day now?
No.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, what do you do with the game? There's only so many running, jumping, dancing games that you can come up with. I still
want Kinectimals.
I venture that
Petting a tiger.
Yay!
I postulate that Microsoft actually made too good of a piece of hardware. I think
Microsoft didn't make it.
Well, but you know what I mean. But I think this piece of hardware is far beyond its usefulness as a gaming device.
They definitely designed it, though.
That's true. I mean, there's probably going to be all sorts of crazy things that people do with this that take it where we never expected.
Dating simulators.
Full virtual
reality now.
Ooh, Halo Party.
Speaking of Kinect, it's selling slightly better than the PS3 Move.
Little better.
I hate to tell you. 5-1 in November. So, I don't know. Sorry, PlayStation. You and your undulating dildo.
But what's the market penetration of the Xbox versus the PS3 to begin with?
I mean, that's fair.
Much higher.
It's closer than you think.
It's much higher. But, you know, also, I think everybody will admit, the Kinect is kind of a leap forward, and then the PS Move is like the Wii again.
It's better than the Wii. I mean,
if they had four years to develop it.
Well, it's like, okay, we've had the Wii for a while now. We've done Shook the Thing and played party games and sword fought. Okay, here's PlayStation. Same idea.
But from a video gaming standpoint,
what's the difference of the Kinect? Okay, the only difference is you don't have a controller. It's still motion gaming. And that's where
One big difference with the Kinect, with the Move, you basically have one... You have one input. You have the wand. If you have one for each hand, you have two. With the Kinect, you can have four. You know, with your with your arms, your legs, and your whole body.
Yeah, but okay. How do I play like a Call of Duty style game on Kinect?
Because the Kinect can actually sense where you are, and actually place you, quote unquote, place you. More realistically into the game, where the Move basically uses your wand
as the sensory input. How do I shoot?
Bang, 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 bang. I mean, you know, you pull a trigger. I mean, you can. There's no reason you can't
see that.
There's no reason you can't play in conjunction with a controller or some other adapter. Some other device. I mean, there's no reason you can't.
But if you do that, then what's the difference then going back to like the Move? I'm kind of playing devil's advocate, but I mean, I think my point is that I think in terms of what gaming is, I mean, yeah, you can branch into the different areas, but I think it's still
you can move laterally. You can move laterally with the Kinect, and the Kinect actually sees it based on your movement, and then you can have some sort of other input you know, to be placed in the game. With the move, you move with your input, and that's it. So if you move left and your input's over here, it has no idea right. except for where your input is. So, I mean,
yeah.
you could the Kinect is more immersive just by the general, you know, functionality.
And if yeah. you think about it, if you've ever played a shooter using the Wii, it's pretty annoying.
Yeah, and I think the possibility is there for the Kinect, but I think right now they're so stuck on this. It's a game without a controller.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I think that's going to ultimately be a limiting factor. I think having a controller is fine. Why not use a controller? You know, a small handheld, single handheld controller in conjunction with the Kinect, so that you still have buttons to press if you need it for certain types of games.
You're absolutely right. So, yeah. Microsoft and PS3 mainly garner to the hardcore audience, right?
Right.
So, what Sony and Microsoft are trying to do with these motion based controls is to steal that market away from Nintendo to go towards the more casual people who like to dance, who like to pet baby tigers. So a lot of
clearly
things that
Brian Kilby.
Brian, are you doing that? Tiger. I need a long time.
A lot of people had the idea that Microsoft will use that kind of thing in conjunction. So they would use maybe possibility using a controller to play a first-person shooter, which is arguably much better than pointing and shooting at a screen, because after a while, you don't really want to point at a screen for it. You just want to sit there on the couch and play, right? So what they're thinking is that instead they're going to have, you know, regular headsets. They're going to be able to interact with each other through the camera on the game. And if, say, they want to throw a grenade and it's harder to angle, maybe they just do a throwing motion or something, and then it actually throws the grenade, depending on which way they want to go. Or they can, you know, there's certain types of motion base that they will somehow figure out to integrate into it. So I think the first one that you could probably see taking advantage of this will probably, maybe even earlier, but I think it would be Gears of War, which has been developing with Microsoft Game Studios for quite a long time. So I think that's probably one of the first games. If
Now, wouldn't it be awesome if Gears of War knew basically the layout of your living room, and it knew where your couch was, or it knew where your chair was, and then you could duck behind the chair or behind the couch for, you know, for cover?
Well,
oh God. And so many people would
die.
That's
my concern, though. It's like, how do you duck? Like, are you going to have to physically duck? Well, what if you're a fatty? I mean, you're going to
then lose some freaking weight.
Then you lose. You cannot get past level 1.1. You know, that's what happens.
Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe more fit people, like, the fat out will get off the couch. You know what I mean? Like, I have to get physically fit so I can play Gears of War.
My leisure time activities have gotten too active.
It's not exactly downtime, is it? When you're, like, having to do, like, wind sprints in your living room.
What's up with that?
Not what I want to do. So let's jump over to fighting games real quick and then wrap up the rest of the news and get onto our topic. So a couple quick things. Mortal Kombat 9, as most of us know, is well on its way to coming out. Two more warriors have been revealed. We talked about Kratos showing up in PS3. We still don't know what Xbox is going to do. You would think Xbox is going to have an exclusive character to you know, mirror that. But Ermac and Goro look like they've been leaked, and they're going to be officially in there, so that'll be interesting. Goro will be interesting. We'll see how they do big characters in this game. Again, this is like a love letter to the first three games. Really, Mortal Kombat 2, if you're honest.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Also, the Mortal Kombat 9 Special Edition, pictures of it have leaked, and we may tweet this, we may not. They're easily found. They're all over the internet. But I guess what's most interesting here is you get a, quote, portable fight stick. What is that, you ask? Well, it's a hollow fight stick. So basically it unhinges, and inside you can put your game and your cable and take it wherever you want to. So I guess that's what it counts. It's basically, you know, a mini suitcase for your game. The coolest part about this, actually, is that when you unhinge it,
on the underside, you get to see all the cool switches.
Ooh, are they Sanwa or are they Hap?
I kind of doubt it. The special edition isn't that expensive, or it isn't that nice. Uh-oh. I don't know who is the... I should look that up. I'm not sure exactly who the stick maker is for Mortal Kombat sticks. I don't think it's Mad Catz, but and certainly not Hori. I'm not sure.
It's just Hap, isn't it?
Well, I mean, Hap it would be the people that make the Switch, or it could be a Sanwa Switch. I mean, it doesn't matter who developed it. I mean, it could be Mad Catz. Mad Catz makes crap, and occasionally they'll make something nice, like the fighter stick that came out for Street Fighter.
This is designed by NetherRealm.
NetherRealm. And Hori, I mean, Hori's pretty good, too. But, I mean, Hori's, I think, a step up from Mad Catz.
Hori is super expensive.
It can be. I mean, I've got three or four.
Like their best stuff.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, I've got like nice three. I think I've had like four or five Hori sticks, and they've all been in the $50 to $60 range, so they're not like super premium or anything like
but
that.
They get there. They get super premium.
They can be. And that's when they have the nice Sanwa parts.
Yes. So true, dudes. So true. Okay, so the other fighting game news of the week is Marvel vs. Capcom 3. The roster... frankly, by the end of January, the entire roster will be released, and this point will be kind of moot. But since the game was announced, everybody's been dying to learn the roster. And we've had probably, I would say, three or four distinct rosters leaked and people claiming it's the real thing. Well, the latest thing this week was an anonymous Twitter person popped up and started tweeting their head off about... the rest of the characters, and some of this stuff sounds pretty legit, so people don't know exactly what to make of this. All of it sounds good, and take this for what it's worth, but this is what this guy said. So the remaining characters to be revealed are Phoenix, Sentinel, Taskmaster, that's on
awesome.
The Marvel side.
Nice.
Mike Hagger and Akuma on the
awesome
side, and a Darkstalker, actually. I never get her name right. It's
which one?
Gosh, how do you pronounce this? It's Heisen Ko, maybe something like that.
She's not in the first game.
Giant claw hands. No.
Okay. She's first game. I know who. Okay.
No. Well, I mean, you get Felicia. So that's something. But she almost doesn't count. When people say Darkstalkers, they want basically Dimitri is what people want.
Dimitri sucks.
They're not going to get it. He does suck, basically. And then the interesting thing is the final boss, they claim, is Galactus, paired with Dr. Doom and Albert Wesker from Resident Evil.
Neat.
So we'll see. That'll be interesting. Galactus, clearly boss only. Can't play him. One of the interesting things that came out of the tweets, and we've kind of heard this before, is that Dead Rising, the primary character, Frank West, is really popular. He's got kind of a cult following, and he was going to be in this game. And Capcom has made it clear that he's one of the characters they've decided they're going to try to cram into as many games as possible. He's going to be like their cameo character. Well, they tried putting him in this game, and his super moves, which involve zombies kind of showing up and being used as weapons and fun stuff like that, made the game slow way down online to the point where they had to cut him, which is kind of a bummer. So he was too hot to handle.
Too cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters, and they're in control.
So Frank West was just so badass that it slowed down.
He was so badass. Too badass for the internet. He broke the internet. The worst part about that is really not just that he got cut, but since he got cut so late, clearly, you know, a functioning player in one of the betas, they didn't have time to replace him, so they had to basically cut somebody from the Marvel side. So we don't know who the casualty was. It was probably a character like down the line as a DLC, but still, they basically had to eliminate a spot. So that's kind of a bummer. Two quick things before we go to our discussion. First of all, the PlayStation Home turns two years old. So basically, you would think it's a snoozer until Sony came out with these numbers. These may or may not be completely accurate, but you would think they would be somewhat accurate. So according to Sony, 17 million people hang out in PlayStation Home for an average of 70 minutes a session. That's
wow.
What they
say.
70 minutes.
That sounds like
how many sessions over what period of time?
Once in their life.
And were they moving?
Yeah, because
like, 70 minutes of their life.
I think the one time that I logged into Home, I may have spent about 70 minutes there, although probably 55 of those minutes were load screens.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Update. Those wonderful software updates.
Oh, my God, the updates.
Like a 17-minute.
God. That makes right. That's the thing that makes me never want to log in again is the update. You go to run into something that's like, oh, you have to update. You know, get please go bake later. A cake and come back tomorrow, and then maybe you can check this out.
Yeah, maybe you can play your game again. That's the worst part. Okay, PlayStation. I mean, you know, it's fine that you want to update the system like every 5 days. It's probably not fine that I have to update the system or I can't play my games. That's hold me hostage here. But yes, according to Sony, PlayStation Home is 2, and it is very successful. Believe it or not, that's what they say.
Yeah. Well, hey, Jim. Yeah, Bob. Make some numbers up. We own the computer. You're right. The computer that would tell them we actually own it. Yeah, just punch some numbers in there, okay? Okay, you got some games for his PSP wire pliers yet?
Oh, nice. Nice callback. Yeah. That's a callback, folks. Yeah.
I'm referencing my own jokes.
I'm telling you. They're so good. You got to, like, you know, bring them back week after week. I like to look at the last story before we get to the topic. And this is actually... this actually ties in way better into the topic than I expected. So, happy coincidence. One of the current only, perhaps, great beat 'em ups out there right now is the Batman Arkham Asylum / Arkham City franchise. Well, this past week we got the primary villain revealed to us, and it's going to be Hugo Strange.
Really?
So, pretty awesome. It's awesome that it's not like, you know, the regular, like, very expected cast. Hugo Strange. I think Hugo Strange... Does Hugo Strange have enough name value to kind of carry...
Well, no.
...role as big villain? In
no.
They're going for geek cred with this one, because in the end of the day, you're probably still going to fight, like...
No, I'm a geek, and I don't give a crap about Hugo Strange. I just don't care at all.
It's like, hey, the Riddler. What's punching him? Going to solve what riddle? You know, that are like, let's just pick some random guy. We won't actually fight him. We'll fight like robot with a fish in it. Okay. I mean,
nice. So really, you guys, because I know you guys have a really pretty good grasp, I would say an excellent grasp of Batman lore. You don't think Hugo Strange? Do you think Hugo Strange is a wise choice or just a bad choice?
Like, I'd have to play the game. Okay. So depending on the writer, so if you go back to take not looking at Batman, but say looking at Justice Society of America, basically, or even The Flash, Geoff Johns would take on different villains, and he would make like basically the definitive story for that villain. And that villain was automatically, you know, classic and could be reused later where they might have been a joke before. Hugo Strange is just not a character who really resonates with the fans. Doesn't mean that he couldn't resonate with the fans. It just means that he doesn't resonate with the fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, for this, they could just as easily pick Zeus or even more obscure Egghead. Character. Egghead would be awesome. King Tut.
I would love King Tut.
Yeah, King Tut would be awesome.
And they try to goth him up.
Yeah, but Hugo Strange.
Make him hardcore.
You know.
That would be awesome.
He's been used in the comic recently-ish.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I haven't read Batman in years because I just can't bring myself to try. I'm just afraid.
Oh,
I'm afraid of what I'll find.
It's fun
stuff now.
I can't tell you anything that happens in it, but it's good.
Yeah, it's all good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, everybody who's listening right now, if you're into comics, you should listen to JD's podcast.
Oh, hey, you should. Thanks.
Fanboy Versus. Yeah. One of the best comic podcasts going.
On this network.
Do listen in. On this network. On the TF Radio network.
Fanboyversus.com, JD.
Fanboyversus.com, absolutely.
Or tfradio.net/comics.
It's what we like to call it, sister show. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that you guys are down on Hugo Strange. Because I know the name, I just don't know enough to know whether I should be impressed or not.
And I think that's the point, kind of like, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point, exactly. Is that, you know.
He's virtually a blank slate as far as fans are concerned.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. So he can be a robot with a fish in it.
Yeah.
He could. He could be a woman.
I mean, if you wanted to pick a, if you wanted to pick a character that, you know, that that would be sort of surprising, I would go with someone who I wouldn't necessarily call a Batman, who is not really a Batman character at all, but he's just sort of one of those DC villains that could get more coverage. Should be somebody like Vandal Savage.
Yes.
I think Vandal Savage could totally pull off like the villain role.
Mm-hmm. I want some Mad Monk action in my Batman video games.
Mad Monk.
Yes. Batman will never use a gun, but he sure did that issue.
Awesome.
Because he's a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So it doesn't count, right?
Yeah, Batman's always been really well written, guys.
It's prose. It's like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's untouchable. So that brings us, this brings us to our topic of the week. And it's kind of a meta discussion on beat 'em ups. And I bring you this topic because this week, actually today, the day of the recording, Konami has released the old classic X-Men arcade game on PSN and Xbox Live for more or less $10. So if you're too young to remember, this was back in the golden days, and I mean it, golden days of arcade play. This was a six-player cabinet. If you were lucky, if your arcade was lucky, they had the full size cabinet, and this was six
two
players.
Two screens.
Yeah. Gigantic.
I saw one of those once.
It was awesome. And it was a beat 'em up featuring all your favorite X-Men. Peter, do you have something to say about this?
No, I saw the bigger versions of the arcades quite a lot, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They were kind of a staple for a while. This was released all the way back in 1989, by the way. So it's been a long time.
Was it 1980? Oh God,
1989. Oh, wow. Can you believe that? This was back when, frankly, there was probably wasn't a ton of non-comic stuff.
So what was the contemporary of that? Like Captain America and the Avengers?
Probably more or less, because I think that came out in 90, maybe something like
90.
That.
Basically, I think it competed with Capcom on just Konami's own games and maybe Final Fight.
Captain America and the Avengers was Data East.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it stood on its own. That's when X-Men also was like sort of badass and underground to all the kids. You know, it wasn't really mainstream yet. So it was like this.
Yeah, it took
awesome
2 years. Two years later, X-Men were shoved down your throat.
Yeah. It was like, dude, X-Men, and here's this awesome.
7 million copies sold.
Everyone was like, man, that guy Chet drives the Firebird, knows all about satanic stuff.
Sorry.
So yeah, before we get into talking about beat 'em ups, yes, this is an awesome game. It's available for, like I said, $10 on your
awesome game,
your online arcade retro gaming network of choice, Xbox or PSN. Do give it a shot. It's worth the price of admission, if only for the blob battle, and I don't know. Go and play it after the show, though. But this brings us to my topic. Well, first of all, do you guys have memories of this game? And second of all, what happened to beat 'em ups? Where are
those?
Oh my
God.
Is that just a genre of the past?
Yes,
it's one of my favorites too.
It's absolutely one of my favorites.
Yes. Well, didn't they evolve though into like some of the team play RPG? Because isn't like Ultimate Alliance basically? I mean, wouldn't that be?
Yeah, like in a way, but Ultimate Alliance really sucks.
And I have three words. No, maybe three words. Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh. Yes. Xbox Live Arcade is full of beat 'em ups.
Yeah, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Like my main cabinet, the game that I would show off, as stupid as it is, was Capcom's Punisher game. Because nothing's more fun than playing Nick Fury and shooting the crap out of villains or, you know, thugs. I mean, I love beat 'em ups. I mean, I absolutely love Final Fight. I mean, Final Fight's just a blast.
Final Fight, Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage, but it was never one of those games that I got into. It's just because by the time I had a Genesis, it was like, So that's what that is.
I used
Did
to play
you
this
get
one.
In, like, what about Streets of Rage 2? Streets of Rage 3. Those have pretty good cult followings, I think.
Streets of Rage 3, not so much. Streets of Rage 2 is, of course, a huge cult hit. Now, the Japanese version of Streets of Rage is better, and I did get a ROM translation of it a couple years ago, and it made it quite a bit better. But I mean, I don't know. Just it's Streets of Rage was never really, you know, never really the beat 'em up that really applied to me. Now what really? Now I probably my favorite beat 'em up of all time, and I don't really think about it, but it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game.
Oh yeah.
Yes, one of the best games of all time. There,
yes,
sir.
That was a classic game, and it's totally, it's like one of the best examples of beat-em-up games.
Four-player beat-em-up.
Yep. I've always been partial to the Konami Simpsons game.
It's good. I've played it recently, and I don't know that it's held up as well as the Ninja Turtles game, but it's still good.
Yeah. I think it's all because it's all fun. You know, it's all game and silliness and. You know, it's like a tongue-in-cheek. It's just a fun game. Look, Marge is beating up a wrestler with a vacuum cleaner. Smithers is robbing the bank with Maggie, who's sucking on a ruby.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all silly. It's all fun, and you can just pick it up and go, this is fun.
Yeah, Sega Spider-Man's also a game that you can sort of point to as just a fun game.
Go ahead, Peter.
No, I don't know if you guys have ever played it before, but the Die Hard arcade game.
The one that Sega did. It's 3D.
Maybe I remember that one.
There was a Die Hard. I know Sega did a Die Hard game.
Yeah.
And I think it was a shooter. It was one of the games that came out on the Saturn. Am I remember?
The arcade game was a bit different.
Okay.
Yeah, it was more of a 3D game.
My friend and I used to go and play that all. My friend. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, though, because at the end of the game, if the two of you were still alive, you'd have to beat the crap out of each other.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Friend and I used to beat the game at least. Every time we'd go to the arcade, we would just plow our quarters into that game and play it.
What about Double Dragon?
Double Dragon.
Double Dragon's a good one.
Double Dragon 2 is just I love Double Dragon 2 on the NES. I thought that it was a much better game than Double Dragon 1 on the NES, but the arcade game, I think the first Double Dragon is probably still the best.
The PC Engine versions of Double Dragon 2?
There's a PC Engine version of Double Dragon 2?
Yes, it's the NES version with animated cutscenes.
Really?
Huh. That's the PC Engine.
Why don't I own this?
I saw it on YouTube. No,
there's a chance you do, and you forgot.
No, I have Double Dragon on the Master System, but I don't have that. Huh.
Double Dragon on the Master System's not terrible.
No, better than like Double Dragon on the 2600.
Jeez, there's like a block and a little block comes out. Was anyone else disappointed with the NES Double Dragon? Was like, hey, wait, it's single player.
Yeah.
That kind of sucked. That killed the reason for it existing.
The double and the dragon. I was swearing by the copy at my Circle K. It's like, who's this Billy guy? I want to play Hammer.
Nice.
I want to be Spike.
There were some early Sega ones like Altered Beast and... I mean, that counts, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I do have a question, though, guys. Are you bad enough to save the president?
I am.
Nice. I'm about to.
He's been kidnapped by ninjas. Are you a bad enough dude to rescue the president? Oh my god, Bad Dudes was awesome.
I didn't like that game.
You didn't like that game?
I think I got spoiled by Double Dragon's arcade.
Oh man, Bad Dudes was awesome.
What about?
I always thought RoboCop was too hard. For some reason, I could never like.
NES or arcade? RoboCop? NES is easy. Arcade. Okay, yeah, arcade. That was
such a cool game to me at the time. Kicking everyone's ass.
Wasn't there a Batman beat 'em up game for NES?
Yeah, Batman came out in 1989. Then there was a Batman Return of the Joker came out I think in 1991. Mm-hmm. A Batman for the NES was awesome.
What about Ninja Warriors where you played cyborg ninjas?
That was on the TurboGrafx, wasn't it? No, Super Nintendo. That was Super Nintendo. Oh,
Super Nintendo had like the sequel or remake. I'm remembering the original arcade one where it had the dual monitor display.
I never played it.
I know what you're talking about.
It's on Sega CD also.
I remember seeing that in a preview in Game Players. Game Players years ago, but I never actually played it.
The Super NES was like a remake of it or something. a little bit more realistic setting, but that classic arcade game, man, I had to pump like so much allowance into it or something. That was a great at the time. I just couldn't get enough.
So, John, on your Neo Geo, what kind of great beat 'em ups do you have?
Oh gosh, you know what? The biggest problem with the Neo Geo, well, I'm trying to think. I guess Magician Lord is the most beat 'em up ish game that I can think of that was good. And you know, I mean, there's things like Metal Slug, which are kind of
very, what about what was it, Robo Army?
Robo Army's one. You know what, the thing about Neo Geo is when you look back, they really put all their eggs into one basket, and that's the fighting game basket.
Yeah.
Well, not to begin with. I mean,
not to begin with.
It was a shooter system to begin with.
It was a shooter system to begin with. It was fairly like balanced. Like they had NAM 1975.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple sports games. So no,
I loved Robo Army though.
Lord.
I absolutely loved Robo Army.
Yeah. So it was fairly balanced until Street Fighter II came along. And
let's rip this off.
I got set. Let's rip this off every way possible.
Street Fighter 2 means the 90s.
Have you guys ever played the actual original Street Fighter?
I've got it. Yeah.
That game's awesome.
Yeah. Not really.
Not really, no.
My hands hurt.
I mean, before Street Fighter 2 was out, I mean, that's what we played.
Really? Yeah. I can't imagine ever actually playing it.
We actually used to play it because you know, if you chose player one, you'd be Ryu, and player two with those ridiculous Dorothy red slippers on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you were the second player, you'd be Ken. So you could go around playing like, and I think the boss was Sagat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
did you have
that's what we played when before number two came out.
Did you have the arcade with the ridiculous pads that you had to punch, or did you actually have buttons you could use and not wear yourself out?
It was a home arcade.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Ooh,
so we had like the huge. So we had the joy, like the pad, like the joy. What the hell? It was pretty much like lifted off of the arcade, and then just like mounted on something that we could just play at home.
Oh, so you had like what they called a super gun, which was a little box that you could plug the JAMA board into, and you actually had controllers that were...
I don't know. It was something that my mom jerry-rigged together.
Yeah, she probably... Which is pretty cool.
That's an awesome mom to work out a super gun.
Yeah, she pretty much made like... that was one of them, and then there was another one where she actually just made like a box, and then she put a monitor in it, and then connected to a board, and then had... The arcade.
The JAMA harness. It was a JAMA harness, and that you could plug the little, awesome.
That is awesome. Good stuff.
My mom wouldn't have known what a JAMA harness was.
Yeah, she knew pretty much everything. Like, she made her own, her own controllers and stuff like that. Before they came out with the Japanese, like, the ones that are out nowadays, like, she made her own with those and stuff like that, so.
Oh my gosh.
Your mom is a nerd.
Yeah,
your mom needs to be on the show, it sounds like. Yeah, she needs to host this show. Well, anyway, good talk, guys. Retro gaming is fun. How about that? We learn once again, retro gaming is fun. And beat-em-ups are fun. We need more of those. So I think that'll do it for our show this week. Once again, thank you for listening to New Soundwave. Do check out our sister shows. Do check out especially JD's show, Fanboy Versus. Like I said, at a later date, we're going to talk a little bit more about WoW. And next week is Christmas week. Hey, Brian, are we having shows next week?
I'll be here, even if it's just me.
Awesome. I'll be here. Awesome. I'll be here.
I'll be here. How about that? So we'll do a holiday special. We'll have we'll have gifts for all, or not.
Or not.
So until then, I'm John DeLuda. We'll see you next week on New Soundwave. See you, everybody.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Gilbert, XV, Lady Rick, Dweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.